that we already knew, felt he'd been under conviction, and of course he got saved. I do believe there is a spirit that does bear witness. That's Bible. I believe we can meet a fellow believer in New Zealand, and that spirit will bear witness. I believe that. Just as much as God is sitting on the throne right now, I believe that. So it wasn't, I told him, we'll go pray, and he went knelt down, and I told him, I said, I can help you pray, but you've got to say the words yourself. I can't believe it for you. You've got to, anyway, I believe that spirit bore witness, and I believe he got saved. Let's rock on for a few years. Me and LaDonna was been married a couple of years. We were still serving here. I'm at Buddy's store. It used to be Buddy's up on 61, right across from McDonald's and Hiram Sooty and Scoggins and all that, getting me a biscuit. And one lady that was working the counter, I used to actually pick her up on the church bus as well, Brother David. Name was Brandy. I felt somebody tap me on my shoulder, and I turn around and look up, and he goes, are you Billy Hicks? And I said, guilty as charged. That's why, do I owe you money or something? He goes, nah. He said, you don't remember who I am, do you? I said, you're going to have to talk to me. Keep talking, and I'll catch on. He goes, nah, it was Jimmy Douglas. When he got saved was in 1990. I announced my calling to preach, and I was calling to preach in 91. He said, I just want to thank you for you taking your Saturdays. You come around, and your camouflage with your fuller in the back of the truck or on a trailer, you have your guns, and you'd hand out bubble gum or candy bars, and you took your time and come and visit us and pick us up on Sunday mornings. He said, how do you get your visitation? You go deer hunting. He said, thank you for spending your time. It's us want you to know so that I be saved. And I this is how he talked. He said, I be a deacon. He said, my wife be the piano player. I got three kids, and all three of them play music at church. And he said, I just want to thank you. It ain't nothing to me. But can I say that? The reason I can say that is because I thank God somebody took time to witness to me. I'm thankful that Friday night that Johnny Turner and Doug Alsobrook and their families witnessed to me on that Friday night. Heard the gospel preached my whole life. Rode to church on the back of a mule's. Y'all heard me testify. But it got real on that couch, that living room, that Friday night when the Holy Ghost spoke my heart. And I realized I needed something that was outside myself. Brother Woods, I couldn't wait to get out there and turn those black and tan coon dogs loose, getting them swamps. I had to get out of there. I'd get none, but thank God somebody took the time to witness and love on me and show me kindness. So if we can't be thankful for anything else other than roof over our heads, clothes to wear, us rednecks got redneck stuff to play with, we're thankful God loves us. Ain't that good? God loves us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. I take my text from this tonight, and then I do my dead level best to be obedient and not get hung up where I ought not get hung up, but do get hung up where I should get hung up. Mind the Lord tonight. It says in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came up to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Did you know that as a preacher or a pastor, our job is to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted? That's our job when we share the gospel. It's to preach a gospel that will get the lost under conviction. Those that just kind of lost their hunger, what I'm fixing to read, to get a hunger again. Those that have kind of feeling their thirst, which I'm fixing to read, with the world, to get that thirst for righteousness again. That's our job as a preacher. That's our job as a pastor, is to do that. A lot of people don't like it, and I had that discussion with someone today, and they said, but that's your job as to do. Anyway, they said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I know Thanksgiving is next Thursday, and I've told my mom that the most important thing was that she had those pecan pies ready. Make sure you get your arm good and well that you fell and broke. And she, I better not say it, Sister Betsy may hit me, but she's a little shorter than Sister Betsy. She didn't have hard to fall, but as soon as she broke her arm, you make sure that arm good and ready so you can make them pecan pie. I ain't worried about the ham. I ain't worried about the turkey. You just make sure you have them pecan pies ready. Because I'm going to feel myself with them pecan pies. And just saying that, Sister George, my blood sugar just went up 150. It just skyrocketed. Anyway, blessed, it says in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I plan on doing a lot of eating next Thursday. Probably there's a fine line between glutton and wasting not. I do not believe God would put you on the start of a fast on Thanksgiving Day. I don't think he would do that. But they are some that look at it that way. But I want to preach tonight or do my best to teach or talk to you tonight on these three things. I don't know if I've ever preached this here or not. I have preached on this several times. But I want to share tonight with you, how thirsty are you? How hungry are you? And then third, how ready are you? Got some scripture I could read here, but really don't. It never comes out, never turns out the way you study and you write it down. How thirsty are you? Out of John chapter 4, the woman at the well. We know why she went there at the time she did. We know all that. Anybody in here ever been embarrassed or ashamed? I guess I'm the only one. It's a hard thing to admit. But I'm glad there's a spiritual shame too. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Can I say to you tonight with a humble heart, the gospel is the only thing that can change anyone. I believe when a man of God stands to take this pulpit, as of right now, and I desire your prayers. I believe when a man of God stands to take the pulpit, he's just not sharing something that's just a pastime. He's not to share something just to fill time or to say a word. He's sharing something that's going to change somebody's eternity, whether they die and go to hell or they die and go to heaven. That's the message of the gospel. It's the most powerful message anyone can share. And what an honor it is. But that woman at the well went there because of the time of the day that she was. And be honest with me, Brother David, she didn't recognize or realize who she was talking to at first. She didn't realize who it was. But she was thirsting after one thing and come to get well, physical water or material water, a worldly water, something that we all have to drink of. In water, we got a well at our house and we got county water at our house. And we get either one of them. But I'll never forget this. Terry and Gary, my two younger brothers, and all y'all, most of y'all know them in here. I wished he was here tonight. They were probably about 8 or 9 years old or more. And Mama was in there cooking supper or getting ready for all of us kids and Daddy to come home. And they were aggravating her, and I was being a good kid. I was doing my homework, but I just couldn't get enough math homework. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, don't you? Better watch out. I remember Mama saying that Terry and Gary come in and said, Mama, we found a big old hole. We found a big old hole, Mama. She said, well, bless God, y'all go fill it up and get out of my hair. Y'all know what they did, don't you? They took that old well, opened it up, the well house there, and they were throwing rocks and sticks and oil cans in the well. That was the only source of water we had. I mean, they were just chunking that stuff in there, just having himself a time. Daddy come home, and he come and found them doing, what are y'all doing? Well, Mama told us to fill it up. So, and at the end of this day, that well is still contaminated. To this day, he never did get it where it runs. So he had to wind up getting county water run to us. Can I say to you, back in them days in the Bible, well, we're still living in Bible days. I mean, the Bible is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth's going to pass away, but His Word's going to live on and on. We're still in the Bible days, but the days in Jesus them living, them wells, when they covered them up, sometimes you need to uncover some wells. It's the reason they cover them up, and also the reason they uncover them. But the well that she was going to get that morning was not contaminated. And the beauty of the gospel is this here. It'll let you know that you need pure water. It'll let you know you need the water of life, which is Jesus Christ. When she realized and finally got to talking to Jesus and got to listening to Him, I'm shortening the story up, Brother Dorsey, Dr. D, then she realized what she needed in so much that it filled her thirst. She left her water pots and the first woman preacher, so to speak. That's what we was talking about. I do not believe God calls women to preach, but if He did, I believe He called Brenda Robinson. I don't know if y'all know who she is or not. She used to sing, that woman knows the Scripture. I love her dearly. And she may be watching this tonight, later, whatever. I love her dearly. But what I'm getting at is this here. She went back and she said, come meet a man, told me all there ever was. Yeah. Some of them came and they listened to Jesus and they said, we believe because we had heard ourselves. I believe how it's worded. We have heard ourselves. So I want to ask you tonight, how thirsty are you for righteousness? Brother Brad, I hate admitting this to you, but these times I'm not there. These times I allow college football to get in the way. These times I allow work to get in the way. These times I allow other things that we enjoy to get in the way. I got a sneaky spit. I ain't the only one in here. I will admit to you. It breaks my heart that I do that from time. But then again, there's times I get too heavenly minded and I'm no worldly good. I guess I'm the only one ever been that way too. But I want to ask you, how thirsty are you for righteousness? How thirsty are you to be able to go tell somebody about Jesus? Me and Butch Tamp, he stopped and looked at the tractor today, and there's a guy come walking down. I didn't tell LaDonna this at supper. And he come down the hill, and he's going to look at the track. He's the one that told me I ought to put my business in a trust fund. It said that way, if I fall and hurt myself on your property, I can't sue you. I said, then let me walk you to your truck then. And I walked into his truck. I walked with him to his truck. Be sure he didn't fall. But he come down, he was having some foul language and then doing this and doing that, trying to make him fun, and I didn't tell LaDonna this at supper, but this is what he said. And we just kind of, me and Butch kind of looked at each other. He pastors Bellevue Baptist Church over in Rockmart, and he come down and said, and we just kind of just shook our head and looked, and he goes, what are y'all, two preachers? And we both said, yes, we are. His face goes, I said, but we're not here that we're better than you are. I used to act and talk just like you. We're not to make you feel bad about yourself. Butch said, I got to go. He said, get him, Billy, get him. And I said, I'm going to preach tonight, sir, at our church, and I want to know, how thirsty are you for righteousness? Oh, I used to go to church. I said, that ain't what I asked. Used to, don't get it. But anyway, going to all that, how thirsty are you to be able to go tell somebody about Jesus and bring the she went and told him, come meet a man and told me all there was. As if they didn't know who she was. And she left the water pot. I believe there's a difference in us. I believe there's a difference in us. I believe people can tell a difference in us when we get saved, when we get right, when we rededicate our life. There's something different about us. We're a peculiar people. We should be. She was different. How thirsty are you? What I kind of want to get hung up a little bit tonight on is how hungry are you tonight? On the prodigal son. When he left home, Brother David was the first time in his life he had ever been without. He joined himself to the system of that far country. Be careful who you join yourself to. Young people, be careful who you join yourself to. Be careful. Young adults, we got to be careful who we join ourselves to. Right. Not everybody has their best interest in you. They want what they can get out of you, not you. Amen. But that's what they... Preachers are the same way. They want one. But anyway, when he wound up in that hog pen, Sister Brenda, for the first time in his life, he'd been without. Money was gone, friends were gone, his clothes were gone. He is all raggedy-taggedy. I mean, buddy, he was stinking, he was hungry. He had, and he came to himself. I might have shared this before. Brother Corey, I believe he's a picture of a backslider. I do not believe you can lose your salvation. If you can lose your salvation, I mean, God can lose you, and God's never lost a battle and never will lose a battle. He's sovereign. I know in that story said the father said, my son was lost, but now he's found. He had lost his way. Mm-hmm. Brother Woods, I'm going to tell you, I've been pastoring out there at Pleasant Harbor Baptist Church. I was out of his way. I was in the pulpit preaching, slap out of the will of God. That's a holy hush to a lot of people. They singers the same way. We allow, anyway, we get hungry for the wrong things, and you can put on the dog. You can put on the dog, and I'm going to tell us in a minute, there's some things of how we can stir a hunger up again. But for the first time in his life, he'd been without. He knew, I believe he is saved because he knew he was his father's son. Second, he came to himself. Lost person got nothing to come to until he gets under conviction. There's nothing on the inside for him to come to himself. Third, show me in there where he had to ask directions back home. It ain't in there. Heard Billy Bell preach this one time, and he dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail. That's what he done. Got back home to the Father. Had to preach there, Brother David. Had to preach. But he lost his spiritual hunger because he got his thoughts, he got his ways on that worldly hunger. And that's why he wound up where he is at. That's why he was where he is at. Been there, Brother James. I've been there myself. That's where he is at. He said, but how many hired servants does my father have enough bread to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger. I believe he was not only hunger for food, I believe it was hunger for fellowship from the Father. Amen. You can hear a whole lot better preaching on TV than you'll ever get out of me. You hear a lot of, and there's a lot of good preachers going on, Brother David. And I've had people tell me I can be just as right at home with watching TV. No, you can't. That's a lie out of hell. If you can go anywhere you want to go, but you choose not to go to God's house, you're not right with God. Amen. Forsaking not the assembling yourselves together. But if you're going to be right with the Lord and you're right at home, then make sure you pay your tithes. Make sure you pay your offerings. I mean, if you're right, you're right. But one thing you will not find at home and on radio, I understand the shut-ins. There may be a day I will not be able to go somewhere. There may be a day I might not be able to go and travel like we are now, like the people in the nursing homes and places such as that. I get that. But you'll not find the fellowship that you need in a church. Thank God for Gateway Baptist Church. We have fellowship here. It tickled me, Sister Betsy, back there, and Caleb would go up and talk to her, and he'll squat down as he's talking to her. He said, I kick you in your shin. Turn around and kick him in the honey. That's what he needs. We got fellowship. I believe his hunger for fellowship, Brother Dorsey. I believe his hunger for his friends back at home. He said, how many hired servants? Without a doubt, I remember preaching one time, what kind of servant are we? Are we a servant enough when somebody gets out of the will of God? Are we a servant enough to the Lord that somebody gets out of church and they backslide and get out? Are we a servant enough to make him say, boy, I sure know if I missed the fellowship of Brother David Bass or Brother Billy Hicks. I missed the fellowship of Brother Dick Woods. I missed the fellowship with Sister, what was your name? Sister Lynn. Sticking at you. Are we that type of servant? Are we that type of servant that people think, hey, I'm glad I'm not around him no more? He said, how many hired servants? He was thinking about them. I believe he was hungry for the fellowship and for his friends. I believe that's what he was for. Stirred up. And just want to get hung up on tonight for a few minutes. And this is what I want to share with you right here. Right here. Just very simple. We may turn and read a lot of book out of the book of Psalms, but there's a few ways, Brother Dorsey, that we can stir our hunger up. It's a few ways. Remember the time you experienced being around God's presence. Can I say this again? I know I said it before. There's no mistaking the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. I can also tell you I've never heard Him speak audibly other than through preaching and singing and worship, people testifying God. I've never heard Him say with an audible voice from the heaven of all heavens, Billy, Billy, yo, Billy, where you at? I've never heard Him call my name audibly, but I have through His Word. Matter of fact, I believe that's how He speaks to us, is through His Word. No other way. No other way. Remember the time when you stir that hunger up when you got around the presence of God under conviction? I just shared with you when I got under conviction on that girlfriend's living room, sitting on that couch, and I couldn't wait to turn them black and tans loose and get out of that house and go tromp through them swamps. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. Remember when the morning I got saved. How about you? Remember the morning you got saved? And I say this with a humble heart. It is not important enough for you to remember the date, like God's blessed me to be able to. What is important is you remember when you got saved. My wife would tell you this is a true story. I was cutting grass over in Rolling Hills Subdivision in Bruce. Oh, I'll think of his last name in a minute. I think he come up to me and said, Billy, can you come speak to Angie, my wife, for a few minutes? Can you come talk to her for a minute? I said, yeah, what's going on? She said, man, she heard you preach on the radio the other day, and you kept saying the date you got saved. Boy, you got all excited about it. He said, yeah, okay, I'll be glad to. I go down there, and I go to, what's going on, sister? What's going on, sis? And she goes, man, I heard you preach on the radio and play. This ain't about me, y'all. This ain't about me, but can I say to you, preaching is what we experience in our personal lives that matches with the Word of God. And I told her, I said, listen, it's not important that you remember the very date like I'm able to. Can you go to a place you got saved? She goes, yes, at Young Girls Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. I don't remember the day. Say it again, at Young Girls Baptist Church on a Sunday morning service before Sunday school. Say it again, Young Girls Baptist Church on a Sunday morning before. It's, and that's all you need to know. Remember when you got saved? I got in my Bible written down the date my wife got saved. Thank God for that. And my daughter got saved. And when my son-in-law got saved, I got it wrote down when I wrote mine, my name's even in there. Because there may be a time I might not remember it, but there'll be a time I'll ever forget it. Just remember, when you've been around the presence of God, that hunger will stir. That hunger will get there. And I believe the prodigal son, Brother Brad, was going, boy, I missed that back at home. Yes, I believe he was hungry physically, but I believe he missed the fellowship and the friends that he had back at home. That's what I believe he missed most. I think you got to remember maybe the devotions that his mom and dad or his dad and them gave. Without a doubt, Brother Corey, the prodigal's father was a well-known, well-respected, notable person in the community because he had servants. Study that out. He was notable. And matter of fact, can I say to you, y'all probably already know this, but I feel the need to say it again. Before you throw a stone at somebody, won't you let the Father run to them? Before we make judgments toward somebody, let God love on them. Let God touch their hearts. That's the reason the father ran to him, because they didn't brought shame to him, and under Jewish law, they could have stoned him. First time I heard that song, When God Ran, the Kinsman sung it. Boy, I about come unglued. When God ran. Anyway, He got to remembering that, wanted to go back. He said, how many hired servants my father have bread enough to spare? If he got bread enough to spare, he had bread for him too. Can I say, spiritually, he got bread to spare. Ain't just enough for here. He can go all the way around the world. From the time Jesus was born, they've been bread eating off from that table ever since. And it's going to be eating on. I'm talking about spiritual bread now. He's the bread of life. After I'm dead and gone and in heaven, hallelujah. I mean dead and gone and in heaven, Brother Dorsey. There's going to be bread to eat, amen. I'm talking about bread enough to spare. And here I am perishing hungry. That means he knew he had some for him too. He knew that. Remember you've been around the presence of God. How about another one right here? How about get around people whose lives produce the fruit of living close to God? I mean, buddy, somebody, been around people who you know walk with the Lord and the Lord's mercy and Lord's grace and the Lord's touch is on them. Have you ever been to a store or somewhere and somebody walked by you and you get an uneasy feeling? That's happened to me a time or two. Remember when you and I were down on Fulton Industrial and we went to get that stuff out of that warehouse and this old black fella come up to us, and could have been a white guy, but this particular day was a black fella, and he come up to us, true story, and he go, hey, y'all got any money you could give? I'm so am hungry. The only time I believe I've ever opened my eyes and looked when David was praying, and David finished his prayer and he said, Lord, if he does anything else with this money, you strike him dead. That black guy's eyes opened up. Me and David, he's going to do under conviction. I mean, buddy, you can tell. Be around people who you can just tell that there's some joy. There's some happiness. There's some fellowship with them. I mean, they're willing to give. They're willing to help. They example the fruits of the Spirit. And according to the book of Galatians, I think there's 9 of them in there, I believe it is. I struggle with a few of them myself, but remember, you just hang around those people who are like-minded. I'm glad I'm amongst people tonight of such faith as I am. We're not no better than nobody else, but we're forgiven. But we're forgiven. I'm glad to be part of a church that has a forgiving heart. I'm glad to be part of a church who is a church, Brother David, who is a hospital for the sick. I'm glad to be part of that church. Why? Because I've needed to be bandaged up a time or two. I've needed that balm of Gilead a time or two in my life. More than really a time or two, but I've needed that balm of Gilead. How about remember being around the presence of God? Second, how about get around them people who you know who love and live for the Lord? And another one, it's as hard in here. It's tough. How about getting over ourselves? I done told you these times I get full of myself. Happened the other day. Brother Jeff, happened the other day. Been in business for March the 1st, be 14 years, and I got to thinking the other day, I said, man, I'm fixing to get me a skid steer. Josh, if you watch, I'm going to pull one of your timeouts. Can I tell you why I'm going to get me a skid steer? Because that good-looking lady right back yonder, prettiest lady in this building, sitting right back yonder, my love, my pick on a lot, said, well, maybe we just need to get you a skid steer. I'll felt her forehead, wanted to make sure she didn't have a fever. Then I have, where'd you come from? Who are you? I told you the other day when I looked at that, why, is that what we're going to get? And I said, but I got to thinking, boys, man, I got all these accounts. We've been able to buy one of my first properties I took care of, and boy, God said, well, you wouldn't be doing it without me. Boy, and then it hit. I said, God, you're right. He said, you remember when I brought you through political 19? And yes, that's what it is. You thought you was going to lose your business because they're going to pay people to stay at home and they be cutting their own grass, and it took off like a bomb and I couldn't keep help. You remember? I said, yes, Father, you're right. And I didn't hear him say it audibly. I knew it because the Holy Ghost was on the inside. I can remember where he brought me from. I remember where he brought me from. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never done without. My dad was the sole provider of our home. He framed houses. Most of y'all know it's what we grew up doing. Barry said the other day, he said, Billy, said, or Dwayne, said, you walked all them walls, you walked all those roofs, and you walked all those scaffolds, and you never fell off any of them, and you fall off your tractor. And I said, yeah, you're right. I fall off my tractor and getting older. But I've never done without. Daddy provided for us. I can look back and say I've had a great life. God been good to me. God provided for me before I was ever saved. And I say he's provided for me since I've been saved. But sometimes we just need to get over ourselves. When I played softball, I was cocky. I was arrogant. I'd stand on the mound with my foot right here, and I'd say, I knew, Brother Doug, if I could get them off their game, I had them. I'd challenge them. Hit me with it if you can. Here it is. Here it comes. Come on. Come on, batter. Here it is. And I'd be backing up, and I'd be covering second base if the ball ever got there. I said, come on, man. But there's times I had to get over them. Can I tell you how I got over that? We was playing Dairy Queen. I'm talking about getting over ourselves now. We had an opportunity to go to the USSSA World Series. We was playing Dairy Queen. We was actually winning. They had a guy on third. I lost track of the outs. Guy lined the ball back to me. I called it pure self-defense. I said, yeah, I spiked the ball. Ball went straight up there. The guy from third scored. Won the ball game. You know who I hated it for? My teammates. Because I got full of myself. There's been times, Brother Woods, I've been in the pulpit and got to thinking, yeah, man, yeah, boy, I'm wide open tonight. Boy, I got your attention. Fall flat on my face. We can't do nothing without the breath of God. I got called out on this a couple of weeks ago. Come up full of ourselves. Heard Brother Josh say this, and I'd love for the church to be able to help him get the degrees if he's interested in it, to build a council, if that's what he would love to do. But I want to say, don't be Brother Josh who want them degrees just to put another notch in his belt or have a trophy on the wall or a plaque, doctor on the wall. I believe he really wants to help. I would love to go back to school and get them degrees. But Brother Brad, not to say I got a doctor in front of my name, but be able to help. I got touching on them degrees, and there's a lot of them out there. This actually happened. True story. My wife is sitting back here, and I'm at the hospital. My arm is as red can be with staff in it. I get a call from a church in Cedar Town. Is this Billy Hicks? I said, it is. He goes, well, can you come preach for us? John Thomas, give us your name. I said, yeah, I'm actually open the next couple of weeks. I'm open. I'll be ready. What time you want me there? Hang on. Let's slow down a little bit. I need to know a little bit about you. I said, okay. And you know what he asked? He didn't ask when I got saved. He didn't ask if I knew the Lord. You know what he asked? He, how many Bible degrees do you have? I said, well, I got just a few hours away from having an associate's degree, but it's just a piece of paper saying, been there, done that. Well, are you ever going to go back and get you any more? And I said, I would like to. And I said, but I'm married and I got two kids and they come first now. I said, I got responsibility, sir. And I said, but he said, well, are you going to go back? And I said, sir, maybe he didn't ask when I got saved. He didn't ask me anything. He wouldn't know how many Bible degrees I had. I said, well, brother, it's like this, sir, it's like this. I said, this is what I believe it takes somebody to get saved. You got to hear a man of God preach under the unction and the authority and the anointing of God, and the Holy Spirit will convict your heart, and you got to get saved. You got to call upon him, and you got to get born again. Without any conviction, there'll be no conversion. And if you've been under conviction and conversion, you will confess it. or Romans chapter 10 is wrong. And I said, but I can I tell you the best degree I ever got? He's what? I got born again. May the 19th, 19th, sitting down under the tent. I never heard from him again. I'm preaching on that, being full of yourselves. And there's a lot of people want to brag. I know I work for a company. Though they've flown. That'd be all right. That's what makes your fruity gold pebble. That's okay with me. That's what you want. I said, but it's not for me. He asked me, said, Brother Billy, said I went to the altar this morning. I said, that's between you and the Lord, brother. I don't know. You hammered down on them degrees pretty good. And I said, I don't know if I would have went to the altar or not. You know I got about six or seven of them, don't you? And he said, I just really don't see where it fit in the message. And I said, well, the prodigal son was full of himself when he said, give me. But he was empty of himself when he said, Lord, make me. If you fit the category of you just glad you got. But let me ask you this question, Brother Thomas, and I love him, man, good man, intelligent. I said, but how are them degrees helping your church? We don't need degrees. We need God-filled, God-presence of preaching. We need Holy Ghost anointed singing. We need God in our church. We don't need the degrees. But if you fit the category of, oh, I got all these degrees, well then maybe you should have went to the altar. Turn around, walk, sit down, finish my banana pudding. And I'm not singling him out. But a lot of times we just need to get over ourselves. Can I say our finances will help us get full of ourselves sometimes? Our finances will. They will. Get over ourselves. Prodigal son, he was able to be blessed again and able to put shoes on his feet and clothes on his, and a robe and a ring because he got over himself and said, Lord, instead of said, Father, give me, Father, make me. Oh, would God, I want to ask you this question tonight. Are you willing to say, God, just make me what you want me to be? Help me get my thoughts. Help me get myself out of the way. Help me, Lord, you fill me with you. It ain't always easy when you do that. You can rest assured the older brother's going to be in the wings getting mad at you. Going to get jealous. You get right with the Lord and you allow the Lord to use you. I promise you the devil's going to. How does God work? Works through people, right? Satan does the same thing. So let me ask you, are you willing to be a vessel of the Lord or a vessel of the devil? Sadducees and Pharisees are all around. They're all there. If you have a problem with forgiveness and you want judgment on people, but you want forgiveness and grace yourself, you're a Sadducee and Pharisee. That older brother said, you never threw me a celebration. You never threw me a party, but Brother Brad, Father just sat down on the front porch with him and said, listen, son, paraphrasing, all that I have is yours is too. Can I say that's the joint heirness we got, Brother David? Third, fourth, and I'm fixing to move on to the last one. Can I go and tell my first lie tonight? I'm going to close for the third time. Worship him. Worship him. You want to stir that hunger? Worship him. A few months back, Brother Josh called and we were just checking on us. And I told him, I said, Brother, I want to tell you something. I said, man, in the middle of our storm, God has ceased it. In the middle of the storm we're going through, God has spoke, peace be still, for a short period of time. I said, there's a debt that we thought we was going to have to take care of. And said, somebody step up and took care of that debt. And so somebody stood up and said, I will. I'm willing to help out. I'm willing to extend mercy. I'm willing to show some love. I'm willing to do this. And they said, I'll take care of that debt for that particular person. I'll take care of it. In the middle of our storm, God just kind of, and the whole time somebody else is getting mad. Paul said, wherever I go do good, evil's always present. I say this with a humble heart. If you ain't right with the Lord, you're acting like a Pharisee. If you get jealous and you get mad over God blessing somebody else, you're a Sadducee and Pharisee. You get mad because somebody else gets a promotion or what have you, or they take God, or Brother Josh calls on somebody else, or another preacher calls on somebody else. Hey, I know we've been a part of a member of a church where they were willing for spots to be vacant, brother, because we didn't have a last name of somebody else, or we hadn't been there 40 years like everybody else. They were willing for a spot to be vacant, and nobody step up. We've been there, we know. But if you have a hard time with God blessing somebody else, you acting like a Sadducee and Pharisee. I know that ain't popular. I know Josh preaches. I want to jump in there with it too. And I'm not browbeating nobody. But can I just preach where the rubber meets the road? And when we walk in that, I'm not preaching something fairy tale tonight. You want your hunger to be stirred tonight? Quit acting like a Sadducee and Pharisee and get happy that God's using somebody else. God just might use you. Sister Paula, you've been asking me to sing out O Ship of Zion for quite a while. I promise you, when I nail it down, I probably never will get it nailed down. I'm going to sing. Cover your ears, David. I'll try Sunday night. Cover your ears, David. Some of God get the blessing somebody else. Start worshiping Him. Can I say, I believe that's what that celebration was. Begin to clock. The prodigal son come home. And boy, you worship the Lord. Brother Josh called. Boy, I said, man, I just got to tell you something, buddy. Somebody just shouted. I mean, but hey, can I say to you, I was pastoring Pleasant Arbor Baptist Church, and we was having a, Brother Jeff was preaching a tent revival for us. We had the wonderful facilities, but God put in my heart for us to put the tent up. Some of y'all might have come help put the tent up out there. I mean, on the grounds, and I'm battling something I did never as a pastor. I never dealt with before, and I'm riding down the road going to Buck Cannon to do what I do now, cut grass, and the law gets behind me and blue lights me. I done had tears flowing down because I'm riding down the road having myself a time. I think Kristen Wilts, I was listening to them. Lord, help me make it. Officer comes up, and I done had him the information he needs, and he's, sir, you been crying? I said, yeah. So I began to tell him a little about what was going on at the church. Wasn't real sure how to navigate through this, the first Red Sea I'd seen at the church, and boy, the Sadducees were screaming and hollering, and I was having a hard time. I didn't want my way. I wanted God's way done. And it looked like, brother, it looked like if he had come up, you rode by there, he got that window. He never asked me to get out there, but what he did, he put his hand on that window seal right there on that door, and it looked like he was waylaying on me. It looked like he'd give me the five-knuckle shuffle every time he pulled through there. But he said, you go on down there. You keep a praying. You keep a preaching. You keep pastoring them people. Those that don't want it, they need a pastor too. You just keep doing it. And he got me out, Brother Corey, and we had prayer. I thought he was going to lock me up, but he had prayer. I'm talking about worship. Worship. You want your hunger to be stirred? Worship Him. He's worthy.
Amen.
How about old Josh touched on this? How about old Paul and Silas in the book of Acts in chapter 16? Through their pain, they begin to praise Him. And I literally believe there was an earth shake. And it shook their bands off just as much as I'm shaking this right here. I don't believe anybody come by and took. I believe it was shaking them. It shook them off. I believe that. Just as much as it was when Jesus was on the ship and he said, peace be still, and it got quiet. Amen. And he said, what in the world is this? Never man spake like this. That's what you're saying. I believe that. You begin to worship Him. Once your hunger stirred, get around those people that worship. Brother Dorsey, it remains to be seen. One Sunday morning, if we all, everybody, Brother Pullen, if we could all come in here, not worried about what we're going to do on Monday morning, not worried about where we're going to go get a taco or hamburger or whatever, the first piece of chicken on the buffet or the first burger that flipped over on or whatever, quit worrying about, and just come in here with a free heart. Quit worrying about the time. Quit worrying about what Sister Bertha's wearing over here or Brother whatever's name has got over there. And please don't get mad at me when I get my Kubota skid steer. I promise you, if you need help, I'll do what I can, but don't get mad at me over me getting one of them. Don't worry about that or not. Matter of fact, can I throw a prayer? Help me pray for a Shelby GT500, amen. 690 horsepower to the wheels. Enough of that. My wife going, If we just quit worrying about everything else. Come in here. So Lord, here I am. Saw a post the other day. So true. Those that pray for the pastor get the most out of his preaching. True. If we just come in, it remains to be seen. I literally believe, Brother Dorsey, I believe this place could shake. You say, oh, you believe that? I sure do. I believe it happened just like it did in the book of Acts. It can happen here. I believe that. Last but not least, how ready are you? Apostle Paul says, I'm not ready to be offered. My time of departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's a crown laid up for me, not for only me, but for all those that love his appearing. He was ready, Brother David. He was ready. He was ready, Josh. He was ready. I know you're training to be a fireman. Thank you for that, for what you do. What you going to do? But you, in order to get ready for that, it's training you've got to go through. A lot of people think Apostle Paul got saved and he started preaching right then. That ain't what happened.
That's right.
He went and built tents. God put him in school for a while.
Yeah, amen.
Matter of fact, can I say this? David's out there minding his own business, doing what the Father would have him to do, and next thing you know, they fetch him out of there, and next thing you know, he's anointed king over Israel. At a young age, I personally believe he's 17, 18. I mean, I believe he's just a young man at that anointed king. But he didn't take kingship right away. Many years before he took kingship. Many years. God won't give it to you till you're ready. The Apostle Paul says, I am now ready. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Brother David, he says, well, you going to threaten me with heaven? Here you go. There it is. Make sure you get it good. I know it's kind of paraphrasing, but he was ready.
That's right.
You know what he's doing, Brother David? He's encouraging young Timothy. Our job as the preachers is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable.
Amen.
It ain't always easy to do. We take a bad route. I try my best to be mindful of the time. When I first started pastoring, and my wife would tell you, ain't nobody love preaching no more than I do, and I love preaching. I love it. But some of them plays at Auburn, says, you're going too long. If you need to leave, go ahead and go. I'm not going to cut it off just for you. Somebody else. What if I cut it off, and this has happened, I cut it off, and then but I keep on preaching, and God's in it, and then you wind up leaving somebody to get saved at the altar. When we base our worship on the length of time instead of... God don't work on our timetable, folks. Thank God we can call upon him and he can hear us. And that's all the scriptures I was going to read tonight has all that in there. And he does hear us, but I'm glad to be around him when he moves. Paul said, I'm not ready to be off. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready? I mean, are you ready tonight? I love you. I'm looking you eye to eye. We've known each other a long time. May the 19th, 1985, 10 minutes to 12, New Liberty Baptist Church in Norfolk, Georgia, I got born again. I didn't change leaves. I didn't change friends. I didn't change color. I got born again. Should I die in a car wreck on my way home tonight, and God forbid that, I don't want that to happen. I got a son and a wife that's going to be riding on me. But should something happen and I leave out here, Sister Amanda, I don't worry about where I'm going to be. I'm ready. Do I want to live a lot longer to be able to get that skid steer? I want to live a lot longer to be able to get that skid. But should God call me home tonight, I'm ready. I'm ready. Should God call me home tomorrow and I have a massive heart attack, I'm ready. I do want to live long enough to have grandkids. I do want to live long enough for my wife be able to go travel and go see some places and not be on a time clock for jobs and be able to just go do what we are. Honey, I'm looking forward to that. I really am. But should God call me home tonight, Brother Woods, I'm ready. Two different people today that stopped and looked at that tractor had said to the man of stars, God Almighty, and he's a man. He's of the male figure. He said, I had colon cancer and didn't know it. The Ingram fellow that I told you stayed forever, he was gutted, had stitches. He said, I had colon cancer and didn't know it. He said, I thought I was leaving. He said, I had to do business with God. It's what he said, Sister Woods. He said, should God call me home before I get home, I'm ready. I'm ready. He said, all my affairs are, so to speak, are in order. He said, yes, I want to live long enough to spoil my grandbaby. It's on the way. He said, but I'm ready to go home. Should God call me home, I'm ready. Are you ready tonight? I don't know. Brother David, come sing a song, if you will. If you will, just come sing. I know normally I like closing with altar prayer, but I just want to give a verse or two of invitation tonight. Being ready. Apostle Paul wrote over, I personally believe he wrote the book of Hebrews myself. But I would not say that verbatim because if the Bible's silent about it, we ought to be silent about it. But I personally believe a lot of the same characteristics. But Paul was ready. Peter, 2 Peter, I think he said, chapter 2 or verse, or chapter 3, I think, he shares when he was ready. So I ask you tonight with a humble heart, I ain't saying if you're lost, saved. But if you are saved tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to leave and meet the Almighty? Apostle Paul was. Brother David. If y'all would please stand and we'll be done. Near the cross, a precious fountain, breathe to all a healing stream, from Calvary's mountain. More.